One of the things that we try to do as much as possible is to bring government very, very close. I mean, the closest it could ever get to the people. And anytime we have information from the government, we try as much as possible to bring that information to you. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. I want to talk to you about the Rapid Response Register. And I have, to talk about that, I have the Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Ajiri Ngelale, joining me on the program this morning. Ajiri, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, my dear brother, and of course to our listeners.
Now, let's dive into it straight up. What is Rapid Response Register?
Thank you very much. So really, it's just a mechanism that this administration has put in place, separate from the social investment programs, of course, that are dealing with about 15 million Nigerians across the ones we know, the conditional cash transfer and power, trader money, and all of those ones. Now, this one really deals with a sustainable kind of long-term register that we're creating that is targeting the urban poor. So you have the rural poor, which are really targeted in the conditional cash transfer. These are far-flung communities where they don't have access to banking institutions. They don't have bank accounts, BBN numbers, and all of that. So you're going out into their communities and you're giving them cash to use. Now, with the urban poor, you're talking about those individuals who are hustling hard every day, right? They're hawking goods on the streets. They're in the markets. They may not even have a market stall to themselves, but they're out around, walking around, selling things to people, you know, really hustling hard, you know?
Yeah.
So now these individuals are those who we're really targeting with the Rapid Response Register. The way it's going to work is we have collaborated with all the telecoms companies in the country and also with the National Bureau of Statistics to dimension those individuals in this country who constitute the urban poor, those individuals who have consistently had less than 5,000 naira in their account, for example, you see the inflows and outflows of their account, the transactions are generally running between 100 naira here, 200 there, the 500 there, etc. But they're generally dimensioned at less than 5,000 naira account balance.
For how long? The 5,000 naira must... For how
long? Right. So these are individuals who generally are operating at that level over the course of, I mean, sustainably. I mean, you have individuals who may have 10,000 naira in their account, right? They spend it down to 2,000 naira, then they're able to find 2,500, right? So they're almost at 5,000. And then they just run their account like that. It's always hovering around that 5,000 to 10,000 naira.
Right.
So those are the individuals we're targeting. And because we're working with the banking institutions in the country, we have now dimensioned out a register now of about 20 million Nigerians who fit into the urban poor category.
Okay.
Within at the level of the bank balance that we're talking about, and those who we have now identified to say, look, these are individuals we can reach with direct digital payments,
right.
No middleman, no consultant, from Federation account into their accounts. So the Rapid Response Register is really not just about dealing with the negative economic impact brought by COVID-19.
Right.
That's the goal in the short term. But over the long term, it's about making sure that this country is prepared for emergency situations. If there's a weather emergency, an economic emergency, a public health emergency like this one, we can reach tens of millions of our people with direct cash payments into their accounts. And that's really the institution that we're building right now.
Let's talk about, you know, the amount. Is there a fixed amount yet they'll be paid to these poorest of the poor Nigerians?
Thank you very much. So today there's going to be a major announcement, which I do not want to preempt. His Excellency, the Vice President, Professor Yemi Osinbajo, who designed this scheme and is charged by President Muhammadu Buhari to oversee the implementation of this scheme. He is going to be launching the Rapid Response Register today, and all of the details will be coming out accordingly. But let me just say this.
Right.
His Excellency, the Vice President, designed the program in such a way that we have, again, like the social investment programs, brought close the World Bank. So they are not just a funding partner in providing some of the money that we're going to be using to send directly to our people through this program. But they are also, and this is intentional on his part, is bringing them on for monitoring and evaluation. They are going to be overseeing in part the implementation of the program so that we have that set of eyes that is not related to the government at all to assess what we're doing. So all of that is part of the program. But in terms of the actual amount, that's going to be sent into these accounts,
right.
I think it's appropriate for me to allow the vice president to make that announcement.
But can you tell us, though, for how long this is going to run?
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, so in the first phase, it's going to run for 6 months. So these individuals are going to receive monthly payments for 6 months, which is the kind of the initial phase that we've put in place, because we are quite convinced that after 6 months, that should take us to about June, July, that we would have now gotten to the point with COVID-19 where we have largely gotten out of the pandemic, both because of vaccinations and with the global situation kind of returning to normalcy in terms of economic productivity and activity.
Right, right. Now, let's talk about how these data were put together. I mean, the 20 million bank accounts and Nigerians that you said were put together. I'm guessing that they were sorted through their BVN, right? So that you don't, multi-pay an individual who runs like three, four different bank accounts. That's one. Then secondly, Ajiri, I'm sure one of the questions on the minds of Lagos listening to you right now is the fact that, how will these payments be made? Is it going to be shared equally among the states? Or is it going to be based on geopolitical zones? Or is it going to be based on data that we have? I don't know if we do, but if we have any data concerning where the poorest people reside in Nigeria, which region has the poorest people in Nigeria, is that going to be based? Is that payment going to be based on that exactly? But what I'm just asking is, what is the module? What is the
right?
What is the system, the processes of selecting who to pay and where to pay?
Thank you very much. These are all very brilliant questions. Let me start from the issue of equity in terms of how this will be distributed in terms of beneficiaries. Now, the way it works is we have worked very closely, not just with the telecom companies and the banking institutions, but also with the National Bureau of Statistics. They are part and parcel of this. So we have been able to leverage on their data, in addition to some of the data coming in from the World Bank and some other multilaterals that are not government-based, to basically come up with a clear set of geolocation data that shows us very clearly where you have that predominance of urban poor across the states of the Federation. So, for example, in Lagos, of course, you're looking at places like Mushin, you're looking at places like Ebutemeta, and many, many others, right?
Just as
an example, we know where the urban poor are concentrated, right? Again, this is separate from the rural poor and how we're impacting the rural poor. This is for the urban poor. So we know where they are. Now, the issue is this. Based on the collaboration with all of these stakeholders, we have been able to now say, look, okay, this is where they are. Now, the issue is about how do they access the opportunity that we're providing them.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is, and this is part of the work we're doing with the telcos, is that when you recharge your phone, it doesn't have to be a smartphone, any phone that you may have, you would type in, without any airtime, without any credit, you type in star, maybe 200 hash or whatever it is, then the menu will come up.
Yeah.
We're going to use that basic kind of free application process.
USSD. Where,
exactly, USSD, that's right, where you're going to be able to now, we're going to send you a text message.
Right.
In that text message, you're going to have a very clear set of instructions of what you're going to type in and then the information that you're going to put in. Maybe it's your birthday, whatever the case may be,
right,
to verify that indeed you are the person that has this number that we have already linked to a BVN. Once that is verified, then it would now activate automatically without you having to talk to anybody. You don't have to go to any government office. No inconvenience at all. Based on that verification, we would now say, okay, this person has now activated their beneficiation. So now we can send the money directly to their account. So the next thing after that is to receive the alert once a month for 6 months.
Hmm. Is this going to be... Go on, Ajiri, go on.
Yes, and so the way it now works in terms of the state-to-state breakdown, which you rightly queried, is we are going into every state of the Federation. Now, you agree with me that the various states have differing levels of urban poor population.
Hmm.
So what we have done is we could have looked at it and said, look, we'll do an equal number of beneficiaries across every state, which is what we've done with other programs.
Okay.
But because the differentiation between the states in terms of urban poor population is so significant from one state to the other. We found it to be unfair to have a situation where every state, no matter the data, no matter the reality, would get an equal number of beneficiaries. So what we've done is, working with the NPS, we have proportioned it according to the statistics that are available to every citizen of the country in the NBS that show the level of urban poor. So, for example, if you have an urban poor population of, let's just say, maybe 8 million, for example, in Lagos, right? Just as I'm just throwing a number out there.
Right.
And then you have an urban poor population in Kano, right, of about, let's just say, 16 or 17 million.
Right.
So what we've basically done is to say, okay, it will be based on the proportion of the numbers in those states, so that we hit as many of the urban poor citizens in this country as possible across all states of the Federation. It will be across all states, all local governments, and all wards of the Federation. That is sure.
Right. What I'm guessing is that you're going to have a percentage of the total urban poor that you have in each state.
Exactly.
So if you're saying that, so we're going to look at 10% of the percentage of urban poor population of the people that you have. So whether you have 20, whether you have 50, whether
exactly.
you have 10, it's going to be 10% all across. So that we're now, okay, I get what you're saying now. But
that's
let's,
exactly right. And we have already identified 1,181 concentration points across all states of the Federation, all districts, all constituencies, all local governments.
Okay.
So we have already identified those. We know where they are. Right now, the current rapid response register is 20,196,650 people.
Right.
And what our goal is because we know the urban poor population in the country is more than the 20.1 million that we've done so far. And we've been working on this now for between 6 and 12 months. So we've been building this. Now we're ready for execution. So what's going on is we want to get to a point over the next 2 years or so, which is why you see this administration really driving this issue of data regularization,
right.
where we're saying, okay, let's get the national identity number aligned with the SIM cards, aligned with the BBN, so that we have a very clear picture of the national database, and that we have a clear means of directly impacting our citizens, whether it's economically or otherwise.
Right.
Or maybe it could be information. If it's not money, it's information. We want to make sure we can have a public alert system by text message, for example. All of these things align with what you're seeing in terms of the minor inconvenience where we're asking our people to go through to get the NIN numbers, to get these things regularized.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you earlier about whether the NIN registration is very integral to anybody getting paid. What's your reaction to that?
Yes, thank you very much. So, no, really, it's more about BBN. At this point now, the focus is making sure that the beneficiaries have to have BBNs and bank accounts, because these are digital payments for the urban poor. And we know that, generally speaking, in the urban populations in this country, even those who are not financially or economically buoyant,
right.
they tend to have bank accounts, just because that's the means of doing business in the urban centers. If you're a carpenter or a plumber or whatever it is you're doing, or maybe you're hawking on the street, you've learned now that if you have a bank account, there's a greater likelihood that you will more conveniently transact business, even if you're hawking on the street. Maybe the person you're dealing with doesn't have cash, so he will ask you, do you have account number? Let me transfer to you. So by the time you've gone through that process over time, you now know that, okay, I have to go and get bank accounts. So you have a predominance of the urban poor actually having bank accounts. And that runs against conventional thinking. You know, conventional thinking in the country is that urban poor don't have bank accounts, they don't have BBS. But that's really not true based on our own evaluation and research. You find that a lot of the people who do not have money, who are impoverished in our urban core, hubs around the country, they actually have these accounts. It's just that they don't have much money in them, and that is what we're trying to deal with.
One more question before I open up the phone lines for Lagos to ask you any question regarding this particular conversation. Which of the government agencies will be responsible for this, really? I mean, who is in charge?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, great question. So it's really a collaboration. So now, You have it's headed by NASCO. That is the, of course, the National Social Safety Nets program. That's established under the office of the Vice President, but now is now part of the Ministry of Social Development, Humanitarian Affairs, and Disaster Management. Now, they're working with the World Bank, but it's a little bit complicated in the sense that the planning process in terms of dimensioning those urban poor concentration points across the country, it was a joint exercise conducted between the Federal Ministry of Finance, Budget and National Planning,
right,
and then the state ministries of planning rather. So what we've done is we've been working with the states to identify those concentrations, because we know that from Abuja you cannot see everything that those at the state level can see. They are in the community. Mm-hmm. So we have leveraged on that relationship to create this database in conjunction with the NBS. So you have so many different stakeholders, but if I have to identify one administrative organ, it would definitely be NASCO, which is working, of course, with His Excellency the Vice President and the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs.
Right. Now, let's take some calls. 0700-993-993-993. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Good morning to you. You're live on radio. What's your name?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, please. Can you turn off your radio quickly?
Hello? Yeah. Sheriff, good morning.
Morning to you.
My name is Joe. I'm calling from Lagos.
Welcome.
My question is, based on statistics we have in Nigeria here, divisions and all this lack of data, how accountable can this be, to hold people that Nigeria is not a welfare system, a welfare state, to be sharing this money every time? How do we make sure that there's accountability on this?
Okay.
Thank you.
Accountability. Let's look with Chooks. Chooks is joining us right now from Ipaja. Chooks, good morning to you.
Okay, good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Okay, sir. First of all, I have to correct one impression, sir. Anytime the sheriff or other people ask you a question, you first of all say, this is a very good question, a brilliant question, but you give bad answer. A good question, but that's by the way. So you should change that narrative. Then, second question, please, can he give us 5 names from his own village that benefited from this? 5 names. Don't tell us that you didn't know that this question is going to come out.
How is he supposed to know 5 names from his own village?
From his own kindred, from his own village. That don't tell us that he didn't know, because he could have prepared for all these things. That's by the way. The final thing I want to say is that when he was talking about local government jobs, on NTA, I can't get.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He's talking about the transfer and everything. Now, okay. I wanted to call the woman that asked the interviewer on NTA, Mrs. Claire, told them that she has put up a call in their village that people are not aware of all these programs. Even their own NTA is asking those questions. Sheriff, I want you to ask that kind of question. People in their own village, are they aware of this program? That's the question. And she should stop telling us.
Thank you very much for your thought. Ajiri, would you like to respond to any of those?
Oh, yes, I would like to respond to them.
Please go on.
The first question was about accountability. Really, when you talk about accountability, that's really where it comes in, that this is a digital payment system, right? So we're ensuring that you don't have any potential for any kind of diversion or political hijacking of this process. In addition to that, just as a ring-fencing measure, His Excellency the Vice President also brought in the World Bank to be direct monitoring and evaluation partners in this exercise. So for us now, it's not just a matter of bringing the World Bank for the sake of bringing the World Bank. What it means is that when they're monitoring and evaluating these processes, what they're seeing in effect is that, look, if this program is not well administered, then we are not going to bring our own grants and support for the program. And of course, it is in the federal government of Nigeria's interest for us to ensure that instead of hitting 10 million people with federal government from federal budget, we can hit 20 million because we have counterpart funding coming from the World Bank.
Right.
So the more transparent and the more effective we are in the administration of this program, then the more support we're going to get from the World Bank. So the point here is that there are multiple levels of accountability. To the second caller, I would say to my dear brother this morning that I will never stop being polite. I believe in being polite. I believe in being kind. That is the nature of who I am, irrespective of whether I'm in a public office or not. So if I believe somebody has asked a fantastic question, because not every question I get asked is a great question or a brilliant question or a smart question. So I appreciate good questions because it means that it's going to bring out the information that will help our citizens to make informed decisions and be a part of whatever it is that we want to do in terms of our projects and policies and programs. Now, in addition to that, if you're asking about the beneficiaries in our communities and all of that, I'm very proud to tell you this morning that part of this program actually allows you to go, and this is part of what I want to allow His Excellency the Vice President to announce during the launch later today, but you're going to be able to go to a website where you'll be able to access all of the information, not all of the information, but most of the information about the beneficiaries. The only thing you may not see are the very sensitive data that obviously you will not want to show the public relating to those beneficiaries. But I'm going to also have, hopefully, if Sharif is able and willing, I would have the head of NASCO, who is the direct administrative authority over the administration of this program, to come and shed all the detailed insight and light that any of our callers would have about, verification, enhancing confidence, transparency, and accountability. We are very, very happy to do that because we know that the intention here is nothing more than to help as many Nigerians as possible in the shortest amount of time, and that is the focus.
Ajiri, we have to leave it here for this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Many thanks to Ajiri for coming to inform us that the Vice President, Yemi Osinbajo, is launching this program today, and you're hearing it first here on Nigeria Info. It's called Rapid Response Register. We'll be having a well-rounded conversation with the General Manager of NASCO next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. NASCO is the National Social Safety Net Coordinating Office. He'll be joining us on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't really say for sure now until I confirm with him, but I know that he'll be joining us. Then we can have, 1 hour, full 1 hour conversation. You can ask him any question you'd like to know about the particular program.